Listeners, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on another amazing episode of the Content Callout. I have my friend David Premier on the show today. He is an amazing salesperson, just incredible at what he does, runs a sales training organization that really demystifies sales. That's probably the best way to put it. I think, David, yeah, demystifying sales, showing you that you can actually become an amazing salesperson, like you can be taught to become an amazing salesperson. Anyway, the whole point of this is there is a disconnect between marketing and sales. And oftentimes I feel like we in the marketing role are not arming our salespeople with the right content or the right information. We arm them with information, just we don't arm them with the right information. So this interview is all about that. How do we arm our salespeople with the right content, with the right information? And we get into a deep discussion about what that should look like and how the story should sound. It was an amazing interview. I really, really appreciate David. I appreciate what he's doing. I highly recommend that you check him out. Also, I would ask that you go and like what we do online. So if you're on social, just find us at Content Callout. Or if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, give us a rating, give us a 5-star review. We certainly appreciate it. It helps us a ton. Enjoy this episode. Have a great day. David, we did it, man. Welcome.
We're here. We made it. Great to be with you again.
Hey, man, I'm stoked that you're on the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thanks for having me back.
Awesome. As we start with every show, let's get started right away. For the audience, what are your rapid-fire actionable tactics or strategies?
All right, rapid-fire. Tactic number one, turn your win slides into win stories and include a narrative from the customer, not just statistics and platitudes. That's number one. Number two, create opportunities to put real-life customers in front of your sales and marketing team so that they can hear the stories firsthand. And then number three, you need to certify your reps on how they tell those stories to ensure the delivery is natural and authentic.
Amazing. Love it. Okay, let's get into that. There was a lot there that I want to dive into because there was so much value in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Number one, where you said turn your win slides and win stories into a narrative about the customer, not just statistics and platitudes. For the listeners, just so that you know, the reason that we're having this conversation is because David is a master of sales and we need to create this connection between marketing and sales to make it more congruent. Why is it important to not just have statistics and platitudes?
No, this is a great topic. So the reason we create these win slides and customer testimonials in the first place is that we want our sales team to be able to go out and deliver them and to have this persuasive impact on our customers. The problem is that a lot of these win slides and stories just sound the same. Look, I've had the benefit. I love my experience, especially at Salesforce. I was at Salesforce for 5 years. And I would sit in these like sales kickoff meetings, you know, with 1,000 sales leaders from across the world, and they would go through their like win slides and win stories just to kind of share the story with the rest of the company. And they all sound the same. It's like, oh, it was a hard fought battle. And they were super excited to like automate this and automate that and compliant. Like, and it just all sound the same. And so now if I'm a rep, how the hell am I supposed to go out and tell that story with passion and conviction to the point where it's actually going to inspire anyone? So what I'm saying here is like the win slides and statistics are great. Also, part of the challenge with win slides, and this is for marketing to be aware of as well, is that oftentimes when we create win slides, it's literally after we've won a deal and the customer hasn't realized any value yet. We're just sharing, here's why they bought us. Like, here's the vision for why they think they're going to get a strong return or value from working with us. It's like a thin veneer. And it actually, we as sales reps, we like going out with like the slides and the content. But it's actually a big false sense of security. And we don't end up being able to deliver them with the passion and conviction that we need to. So the tip is really turn the slide into a story, into a narrative. And that kind of dovetails into topic number two, which we can hold off in for a second here. But the idea is like, it should be a living, breathing thing. It's though I'm sitting down with my buddy Mark and I'm telling him like the intimate details of like why this was so amazing. So he feels it. And that doesn't come from customer was excited to get 20% return on A, B, and C.
So let's get into point number two then, because I love how this dovetails in. Because when you tell a story effectively and you create sort of like the hero concept where the customer is the hero, and because they found you as the guide, they were able to solve their problems. Like you said, you create opportunities to put like real life customers in front of your sales team and your marketing team so that you can hear their stories firsthand. Is it that we're not, are we too focused on us and not necessarily our customer when that comes into effect?
You said, are we too something on us?
Yeah. Are we too focused on our own journey and not the customer's journey?
Not necessarily. The big problem with why we need to get in front of our customers is because when we hear stories, oh, this customer experienced this benefit or this customer was excited for this reason, it tends to be academic for us. There's this layer of abstraction. And I talk a lot about this in my book. I'll lay some science on you here in a second. But the idea of abstraction is that things just tend to seem less intimate to us when there's like a distance, right? Mm. And it's kind of funny with what we're going on. You see what's going on in the world now. Being here in North America, when we heard that COVID was happening in China and in Europe, we were concerned, but that was something that was happening over there.
Yes. Yeah.
Then not over here. And of course, when it happens over here, we have a lot more, you know, we have a lot more passion and conviction and relatability to it. And so, but that happens all the time. It's like if a jerk cuts you off in traffic, you would, let's say, swear and yell and do things that would be inconsistent with how you would be in normal everyday life because you're a lovely person. But if you knew who that person was who cut you off, you wouldn't behave that way.
Yes.
And so when things are less tangible for us, we're unable to kind of make that emotional connection. Mm. And there's a really great study that Adam Grant, I know a lot of people have heard of Adam Grant from the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. And he did a little study with the alumni department at the Wharton School of Business. And what do alumni departments do? Among other things, they have sales reps. They go out and they call alumni and they say, hey, we're trying to raise money for scholarships and things of that nature. Can you donate? And so he went into this BDR team in the alumni department and he said, how are you doing in terms of like driving revenue and so on? And then he said, you know what I'm going to do? I want to get actual students who experience the value of these scholarships firsthand. I want to get students who receive scholarships that were from alumni donations, and I want to put them in front of you. And I want them to tell you the stories about how those scholarships impacted their lives. Mm. And he did that. So what happened? They noticed a 400% increase in revenue that came out of that BDR team, right? Because it's not just the stories that you're reading on a slide, right? It's the fact that you heard that customer firsthand. And even if it's one story, I'm sure there's a lot of sales and marketing people out there that can remember the one story. They just keep spamming over and over again to their customers because it's so powerful and compelling. But you only get that when you put the customer in front of your team. And I don't care if it's the sales team or marketing team, whoever it is, because marketing, God bless marketing, sometimes marketing can get this layer of abstraction too, because we hear information from the sales team or from other sources. Get the actual customer in front of your team to tell them about the tangible benefits and value they got from your solution. That will have an enormous impact on your team's ability to relate that content with much more emotion and conversion power.
Love that. And for me, this is where the big gap is between sales and marketing, is that I feel like marketing isn't fully equipping the sales team with what they need in order to make those stories come alive and to convert the customers. So let's talk about that for a second. In a perfect world, if you were to tell the chief marketing officer at every company something right now about what sales teams need to be successful from the marketing department, give me a list. What do you want?
I would rather get a few authentic, like customer-derived, lively communicated stories than like 100 win slides. Like I said at the beginning, at the end of the day, the reason why you're arming your sales team, the reason why marketing, you are arming your sales team with this content is that so they can go out and use it in like a highly polished, armor-piercing way, right? And so you want to get the most bang from your investment. The key is making it so that they can draw that emotional connection between the customer and the value that they're getting and future customers. And so that if you're a marketing person listening here, just create those opportunities. It's so easy. In fact, it's actually very easy for you as a marketing person to reach out to a customer because you're not trying to sell them anything. So their back's not up. But you call them and say, hey, you know what? We're really excited about, let's say if it was at the beginning of a relationship, we're really excited about having you be part of this journey. And don't forget, your job as part of the marketing team is to create an awesome experience, like an onboarding experience for the customer, because the experience is the product. So part of it is like the organization wrapping their arms around the customer, starting with marketing and saying, hey, look, we're really excited to have you be part of our journey here. We would love to just kind of get your story. Like, what is it that you do in terms of your business? How did you think this could help? Where could it fit? Maybe what have you tried before? Like, they can get that digest from the sales team, but soliciting those stories from the customer, really, really important. And then one of the other things that you can do is take those stories and then synthesize them, right? Because you know what kind of the compelling messages are that you want to get out there to the market. And so you want to take these stories and funnel them through these key value drivers and create that narrative, right? That create the story, the thing that you can certify. And then maybe this gets into point number three a little bit, certify the team to sell. So be the conduit of those natural, very compelling stories.
Part of the certification process, like certifying that sales team to be able to tell those stories, means that we've got to find out a way to really entrench the stories in their brains so that they can tell those stories. Are there specific tactics that we can use as marketers to make sure that they're confident to be able to tell those stories, or things that we can do to make sure that they can fully explain the win?
Yeah, well, I'm always a big fan of like the narrative. It's not just because when you have a win slide or like a win, like a traditional win story, it's a list of bullet points. Here's what the customer does. Here's what they're expecting. Here's what they're excited to work with us. But rather, I actually have a bunch of content about this on my website for free and in my book as well. I like kind of these, like sometimes I refer to them as the infomercial stories, right? Or what you said before, like the hero's journey, which is kind of like, okay, here's the problem the customer was looking to solve. And they could have solved it in this way, which would have been fine and traditional and probably cost them a lot of money. But they said, you know what, that's not going to work. We need another way. And so they started exploring and they said, this is what the new world needs to hold for us. And if we had this new solution, here's what it would do. And enter our company. And they really loved working with us because we believe what they believe, right? Like there was this alignment on an emotional level. And so you can actually, like, step one, step two, step three, step four, like architect this story to make it not only memorable for the customer, because the customer, people are, human beings are attuned to listen to stories. And actually the hormones that get released when we like met each other in tribes and learned to trust each other, those things get released when we hear really, really good stories that are arced in a certain way. So not only will those stories be very compelling to your customers if they're told in that kind of formulaic way, but also here's the side benefit is that your sales team will be able to relay those stories in a lot more compelling fashion because it's almost like they won't have to remember. I mean, they have to remember them, but they won't have to remember them because it's just going to be so intuitive. Like they're just talking to their best friend, right? Like it's hard to remember kind of crunchy, chunky stories with like things that kind of happen out of nowhere. But stories that are formulaic that marketing can absolutely weave together for their sales teams and the rest of the company, super easy for the rest of the company to relay and super easy for the customers to digest.
Yeah, I love that. And I think today, especially with everything that's going on in the world and all the crises that we're facing, the value of the story becomes so much more important because we are creating our customers as that hero and taking them sort of through that journey. We need to create sort of this common enemy that we face together. If it's in sales, if you're selling a data tool, for example, it's like bad data, or if you are selling a project management software, it's terrible project management, whatever the enemy is and how we can face that enemy together. And here's how that happened with this company. And here's how we overcame it. That narrative, I love what you said there, how it becomes almost intuitive to the way a person thinks. I mean, you can do all of the buy my stuff marketing, all the PPC campaigns you want, but unless you've got good stories to back it up, it falls on deaf ears because there's so much marketing. There's so much in-your-face marketing today that just lands flat because there's no compelling reason to buy the product. And even if your product or your service is more expensive, the story will sell it.
Absolutely. Well, when I actually think about these stories, your product or service is actually like the punchline of the story. You're not the star of the story. The customer, the environment, the market, they're the star of the story. You're just coming in at the end is like, like it's me. The way I often describe, let's say even like a simple infomercial formula, if I said, hey, you know what? It's been tough here in quarantine. You want to get in the best shape of your life right now, right? But well, it's okay. So the best way to do that, just go to the gym and work out for 3 hours a day and eat healthy every day. It's not so hard, right? The problem is that a lot of the gyms are closed. And even when they're open, they're expensive and hard to get to. I have a solution. Now, I just kind of wrapped up a little story there with a bunch of pains. I talked about an ideal solution of going to work out every day, but then I kind of brought it back to, but you're not going to do that. And that's really hard. And I can make it very relatable. And then I positioned a product at the end of it, but I actually haven't named the product. You don't even know what the product is. Is it a diet? Is it a piece of home exercise equipment, you don't know. But I'm kind of taking you on this little journey, and it's different than saying, I have an awesome piece of home exercise equipment.
Here are the features and benefits. Yeah.
Knock your socks out. We got version 3.0 just came out. Don't you want to know? And look, in all fairness to marketing, part of the challenge is that this is the way we need to connect with modern customers. But oftentimes what happens when salespeople struggle to connect with modern customers, they go back to marketing, specifically product marketing, and they say, arm us with the knowledge that we need to go out and do battle. And so product marketing sometimes, no offense, product marketing, goes back to the product team and says, okay, we got 3.0 coming out, and like, what's new in 3.0? And then the whole message just becomes a pitch around what our new features are.
Yeah, the bells and whistles.
Bells and whistles. And even the kind of more enlightened, they start focusing on the benefits. So we can save you this amount of time, or we can say, and even that's not important. What's more important is like the journey of the customer and thinking and talking about the pains that they're experiencing. It's better to align with the pain, because the solution at the end of the day is just the punchline. I know you're pitching me on something, I get that. But it's the journey, it's the pain. And that's where marketing can play a huge role in almost like intercepting product, right? It's, I don't care what the features are, like, because the customer doesn't care what the features are either yet. Later, they care what the features are. Now, they care about how does this solve a problem that I have, and leading with the problem. So you can get these stories, these win stories that they might take quite a long time. I'd say these are quick stories, but you might be 90% of the way through the story before you even get to the product that you're selling.
Mm-hmm. I've heard it said that the more that you can talk about the customer's pain, the more that the customer believes that you understand their pain.
Absolutely. Well, this is like a little side sales benefit, is that especially when you're going to position pricing or timeline, it often helps to remind the customer of the pain. So I have one client that, for example, when the customer says, how much does this cost? Before they tell the customer how much it costs, they do like a little reminding narrative about, yeah, look, I'm happy to go through the pricing and so on. I mean, obviously, you mentioned that you're having challenges around A, B, and C, and that's costing you all this time. And the way our solution is priced, and they find that when they talk about the pains first, the customers are more amenable to the price, even if it's just in that like micro 5 seconds before they talk about the price. So yeah, pain-centric messaging all day long.
I love it. Fantastic approach. David, as we wrap up this show today, I'd love it if you'd leave the listeners just with one passing thought. They're all marketing professionals. They want to hear what your thoughts are from a sales perspective about what they need to be focusing on to support the sales team.
Yeah. I mean, so number one is we talked about kind of pain-centric messaging, like focus on the problem that the customer's experiencing. And number two, whatever content you produce or relay or communicate to the sales team, make it emotionally charged. Make it so that they can deliver that content with emotional fluidity so that the customer understands. It doesn't feel like I'm pitching you anything. I'm just telling you a story about what customers like you are going through. This is what we do every day. Like, make it easy, make it simple, and kind of dovetailing into point number three, and not that we need to get into it, but this idea of like certifying your reps, like actually listen to your reps tell the story. Actually, I have this exercise I talk about in my book, which is if your message seems to be falling flat, then there's kind of an escalating series of tests you can do to figure out, diagnose where the issue is. First test is like, get your senior leadership team to articulate what is it that we do and what's the problem that we solve, because oftentimes these stories are fantastic when they come from senior leadership. But make sure those stories cascade all the way down. You want a marketing person, salesperson, to be able to tell these stories with the passion and authenticity of your most senior executive leaders.
Amazing. Such incredible wisdom and such incredible knowledge that you've shared. How do people find you online, and how do they learn more about what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm easy to find. So my website is cerebralselling.com, and I give away tons of content for free. So if you're interested in learning about any of the tactics or concepts we talked about, give it away all for free, cerebralselling.com. You can hit me up on LinkedIn, and I have a book, best-selling book I'm super excited about that came out recently. It is called Sell the Way You Buy, and it includes content on all of the things we spoke about today as well.
Incredible. Listeners, just so that you know, I will be linking out to all of these resources from David. I love what this guy is doing. I highly recommend that you follow his stuff online. David, again, thank you so much for being on, man.
Oh, my pleasure, Mark. Great to be with you once again.
Well, what an amazing episode with David Premer. He is a wonderful guy and just really, really knowledgeable about what he does. Super passionate. And as you heard from him, it's really all about the story. It's really all about the story that we arm our salespeople with. These are the things that I took away from this conversation. Not just to have win slides with these statistics and platitudes, but what's the narrative? What's the story that we are arming our salespeople with? Actually put your customers in front of your marketing team, in front of your sales team, so they can hear the stories from the customers, the win stories from the customers firsthand, so that it becomes almost intuitive to them to be able to sell it. And then we certify those reps on how to tell those stories to ensure that the delivery is natural, that it's authentic, that it's genuine, that it's sincere. I really hope you enjoyed this. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I always love chatting with David. It was just an incredible discussion. Would love it if you would visit us online at www.contentcallout.com and go on to us on social. Follow us on social at Content Callout. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We certainly appreciate it. Give us a review. Let us know your thoughts. It helps us in a very big way. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you all.